All right. Thank you all. Please be seated. Yeah, what a joy and privilege to be here face-to-face with everyone. I see a lot of you all on the conference call. But you know, it's nothing like to be together with the family of God, right? And actually, our brother Joe Evans is going to lead us in that song here after the break. So looking forward to that. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. But I thought maybe before we get started, Al, you could come up here and have a prayer, please. Or just do it from there. Have a prayer.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, what an honor and privilege we all have holding forth your beautiful, matchless, and perfect word, energized with the love of you, Father, that we can take that love in our personal lives and just bask in it and just hold it forth to the world. After all, your word says, hold forth that good news, and that's exactly what it is. It's the good news that has saved our lives all the way leading up to Pentecost, Father, and what significance that has. So I pray for each person here. Every one of us are important in the body of God because we have our personal signature backed by you, Father. So I just pray for this morning's time in the Word that we can be reminded of who we are and what we have, Father. And Father, we are blessed to be able to say we belong to you. Father, guide our steps this morning and every day in our lives until the return of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I just pray with a thankful heart for everyone here and the fellowship we're going to partake in, Father. And they all said,
yeah, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Al. And greetings to all of you who have dialed up on the Facebook Live. And for those of you who have called in on the conference call, plus all of us that are gathered here, the Evanses are down from Northern California, Norma from Woo-hoo. Mexico. Yeah, very good. And a blessing to have everyone be able to gather here, of course. It's funny, on the conference call, when you look at her name, it says Kathleen Alaska. And I know that's not your name, right? Welcome. Yeah. Nancy O'Neill's sister, right? Yeah. And your real name is? Duvall. Kathleen Duvall. And your real name is? Wasn't that a game show?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So.
But Vicki and I are very blessed to be back in Southern California. I'm not going to say God's country, but glad it is God's country. Everywhere you are, right? We're in God's country. But here to celebrate Pentecost, also referred to as the Feast of Weeks. You know, a lot of us in this culture don't really necessarily understand all of the cultural traditions in Israel and all the things that went on during that time. We'll talk about that just briefly here today. But what I do want to talk about and what I've titled this teaching is Celebrating Our Season of Change, because a couple of weeks ago I did a sharing about planting. Now, there may be some gardeners in here. I know Joe and Jeanette have been working on a garden. They're planting this and that. And Bob's got this and that, growing tomatoes and plants. And they came home, they're doing all these things, going to Costco, get food. What do they come home with? Plants. You know, what are you going to do with those plants? What are you going to do with those plants, Bob and Jeannie? You're going to put them in the ground. And what's the expectation when you put the plants and all these things in the ground? You want them to produce, right? You want them to be fruitful. Kind of reminds me of the verses in Genesis, you know, be fruitful and multiply. When you put your money in an investment account, what do you expect it to do? Go down? You want to really lose it all? No. You expect it to really, what'd you say, Bill? Grow and develop and multiply, right? That's a real principle of the word, that's for sure. And there's just so many things I'm not sure the apostles really understood and even knew going into the day of Pentecost. You think they really knew that on the day of Pentecost they would speak in tongues and that would be the evidence of the manifestation of the Spirit? Did they have any instruction before, other than what Jesus told them, that the evidence of the manifestation of the reception of Holy Spirit would be speaking in tongues? I don't think so. I mean, maybe we can talk about that later. You can send me a note or an email, but what a surprise that there they were gathered in the temple waiting for the promise of the Father. But guess what? They didn't necessarily know what the promise of the Father was. Jesus alluded to it. The Comforter shall come. I've got to go away so I can come and be with you. The Spirit of Truth. All these different things. But he didn't say, hey guys, you know what, you go to the temple 10 days after I sin and just be there, and then this phenomenal miracle of all miracles will happen and you'll speak in tongues. I mean, it wasn't quite that black and white. But here we are, and we refer to this day celebrating the birthday of the church. But you know what, the roots of this celebration have roots very deep. I mean, when we plant plants, you want the roots to go deep, right? Pentecost has a huge foundation. And Pentecost is one of really three other major seasons of celebration and change in the Bible, which we're going to take a brief look at. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit more about the word change. We're not talking about what you're jingling in your pocket right now, or you're thinking about doing. But here's some definitions of change that I found might be of interest. It means to make different in some particular and radical way, or to give a different position, a course, or a direction to. It means to replace with another, to make a shift from one to another, to undergo a modification or a transformation, to put on different clothes, to pass from the possession of one owner to that of another. We could take each one of these things and probably develop some sort of kind of really cool teaching about that. To undergo a modification or a transformation. You know, isn't life a series of unending changes? I mean, do you know what's going to happen to you the moment you leave this building? You don't know. Traffic can be backed up from Escondido all the way to San Diego. You don't know. You know, mentally, physically, I hope it isn't. I pray it isn't. I just have to be looking at them, and that was inspired, I think. But mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we're constantly going through changes. Physically, things are happening to us physically, spiritually. And one of the great guarantees in life is that change will happen. So whether you adapt readily to change or not, I'm so sorry. Here today, I'll just apologize on behalf of the universe. Change is going to happen, guys. Your hair is going to get gray or fall out, or something's going to happen that you're maybe not expecting it to happen. But we don't need to fear it, okay? We don't need to fear it, because God has a plan for each and every one of us, you know? And it includes hope. And it includes a bright future. I don't care how you're feeling today. I don't care what happened to you before you got here. I don't care, honestly. I mean, I care, but it's kind of a figurative way. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. We're here to celebrate the change that not only occurred then, but the change that is reoccurring in our hearts, in our lives, day by day by day. It doesn't have to be the same. Same old, same old. We've always done it like this, so that's the way we'll just keep doing it. It doesn't have to be like that. Every day can be a fresh start, a new beginning. We have the relationship with God Almighty. And so in light of that statement I make, God has a plan for each and every one of us, a hope and a future, what verse do you think comes to your mind? Tell me one. What is a very descriptive verse? Well, I'll give you a clue. In Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in the New International Version it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So when the devil comes along and he says, you're a nobody, you can't do anything right, when you look in the mirror and all you can see are blemishes and frailties and weaknesses and the extra pounds you've put on or whatever, we have to compare our own physical realities to the promises of the Word. And then how do we appropriate what these promises are, the truth of the Scriptures, into the physical reality of day-by-day living? I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the challenge of day-by-day living, is not to just agree with what the Scriptures say. That's easy. You know, somebody famous said, mental assent is the cancer of Christianity. It's like, yeah, I believe what the Word says. Everything. I just won't do it. It's just, I mentally assent in agreement to what the Bible says. But somehow I can compartmentalize it and separate it from myself to a point that I can walk differently. We want to make those things be able to harmonize and blend together so that we are walking in a great amount of faith. And these are not impossibilities that I'm talking about. You know, in the Bible it says that without faith it is impossible to please God. See? It's really something. So we learn to trust Him. We learn to not lean to our own understanding. What verse comes to your mind then? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who thinks they could get up here and quote it from memory? Volunteer? Joe, come right up here. Come right up here, Joe. Welcome, Joe Evans, everybody. All right, Joe, bless your heart. You just have to speak loud enough so they can hear me right in here.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and you shall direct your path.
Woo! All right, Joe. Very good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How many times have we heard that scripture? I mean, you know the Word 5 days or 40 years. You've heard that over and over and over and over again, but yet it's a constant variable in terms of the walk. And you know what? These same apostles were faced with the same type of trust, because in that preliminary time up to the day of Pentecost, they received some instruction from Jesus, right? Now, this was a kind of a mind-blowing time for them. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's been resurrected. He's been alive. He's been around, walking on earth, doing whatever it is He did for all this period of time. And He meets these fellas, and He gives them that instruction in Acts chapter 1, right? He says, wait for the promise of the Father. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Now, how long did they have to wait? 24 hours? I mean, you know, your loan officer says, I'll call you with an approval in 36 hours. You know what you expect? You expect a phone call in 36 hours telling you your loan's been approved, right? And if not, you're probably on the phone getting a little bit anxious, like, I haven't heard from my loan officer. I mean, what? 10 days. 10 days. And all he said is, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And so they had a decision to make, don't you think? Well, they could go and or they could honestly not go. But a very unique thing happened in the context of that conversation. It says that as he was speaking these things, guess what? There he goes. I mean, this is a mind-blowing situation, really. The day of the Ascension, 10 days before the giving of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And they're having this conversation with Jesus. And there he goes. And they're just kind of like standing there looking. And then what happened? The angels appeared and they said, hey, why are you standing, gazing and looking up into heaven? It's like, well, what else are we supposed to do? I mean, Jesus just left earth and went, you know, I mean, I can't even get a real mind picture of exactly how that happened. But you know what? They said a very interesting thing to them. They said, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner. Right? And you know what? He did exactly that. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, Jesus said earlier, I will come and be with you. Didn't he? So I wonder if maybe that statement made by those angels didn't have a twofold purpose. Yes, he's coming back eventually. We all know that. But how about when he came by way of the Spirit to dwell amongst not only the 12 on that particular day when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, but he came to live in them. And he came to live in us. Now let me ask you a question. I don't know if I'll ever get to this teaching, honestly. But I just feel like I'm telling you what God wants me to tell you. See? Reception of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your feelings. You could feel like not so good, get born again, speak in tongues, and still not feel so good. It has nothing to do with your feelings. See? Because sometimes people want the Pentecostal experience. They want to be down on the floor. They want to, you know, go through some emotional thing. And I'm not saying that that's anything wrong with that. I mean, it is what it is. But Jesus is here amongst us, right? He said, I got to go away so I can come and be with you. Now, they didn't really get that. And I'm not sure many of us get that sometimes. You know? Those are very compartmentalized in our thinking.
Oh, my gosh. It's really something. You know what's so cool is that the day of Pentecost really was a celebration time in the Israeli culture and the Jewish culture, where they celebrated certain types of harvests. And actually, the counting started at the Passover during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the counting of 50 days. That's what part of the word Pentecost means, is 50. Think about the Pentagon. The pentagram, you know the Pentagon, you ever seen it? It's a five-sided building. A lot of these Greek words do have application in today's world, you know. But there were some pretty interesting things that happened during that time. And the Passover especially was representative of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the first fruits from the dead. And then you have Pentecost, which is also referred to, as the screen says there, the Feast of Weeks.
which is a celebration of the wheat harvest, believe it or not. Very agrarian culture there. Barley harvest, wheat harvest. And these things had very significant applications to the people at that time. That first celebration, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what was that really all about? You know what that did is that celebrated the exodus of the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, right? Now think about that in light of our lives. What we've been released from, what we've been freed from, the exodus that we've received from the bondage of what? Not Egypt. The bondage of the sin nature. The bondage of all that Adam brought to us. And the second feast, Pentecost. It was traditionally believed by the Judeans to mark the time when God first revealed the law of Israel to Moses at Mount Sinai. Okay? That's a little broader picture than just the apostles being together, gathered together in the temple. And this miraculous thing. It's kind of like living our lives and then realizing Jesus was born on September 11th, 3 B.C. And then all of our minds are thinking all sorts of different things. You know what? God's timing is perfect. Always perfect. The receiving of the Holy Spirit, perfect. The birth of Jesus Christ, perfect. The death of Jesus, perfect. Resurrection, perfect. Ascension, perfect. Giving of the Spirit, perfect, perfect, perfect. The Word of God is perfect, thoroughly tried. Man can say whatever he wants about the Word. God is perfect. The Word is perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect, was perfect, is perfect. And actually, that Spirit that's been placed in us is perfect too. It's incorruptible seed. It's to be born again of incorruptibility, the seed of God, the spirit nature. Wow. And so here we are, gathered together, celebrate the birthday of the church. And Vicki's going to share some things here in a little bit about what actually happened on that particular day. But what we can look at and be so thankful for is that we have received the Spirit. We have been so blessed, so thankful to know who God is and then to operate the Spirit. And the speaking in tongues, you know, which we many times said is the proof positive in the senses world that you have Christ in you. It's the proof that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, wonderful man. Many years ago, we've had a lot, many of us have had exposure to his life and ministry when he was alive. He said, you know what, there's only one thing that changed me from being a man of fear. Because when I used to get in front of people, all I could do was just shake. I was just so fearful. And you know, the disciples were like that too. They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. See? He said, you know what, there's only one thing that will change a man, a woman, a young person, and that is to get born again and to be filled with the power of the Spirit. That is the only thing that delivers people and changes them from what they have been to what they are now and potentially can be. It's like Daniel has said, I've said it, we've all said it. You are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You can do what the Word of God says you can do. You will be what the Word of God says you will be. That is the truth of the Scriptures. The devil may say something to you, and you know what? I have Christ in me. I am stronger than the devil. The devil is like a little bug under my feet. See? We can't give him as much credence. We walk in authority. We walk in power. We walk in boldness. We walk fearlessly because who God has made us to be in Christ. That's what Jesus said. You shall receive what? Power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the what? Uttermost part of the earth. And I would say 99.9% of all everybody in this room, if not 100%, has the Spirit. You've received the Spirit. Do you have to speak in tongues to receive the Spirit? No. You do not. You can still be born again and have the Spirit of God within you. But learning to manifest the power of God in our day-by-day living, that is a kind of a unique challenge for each and every one of us the moment our feet hit the ground in the morning. Because somebody once said, you know, we're the devil's worst nightmare. It's like, oh my God, they're awake again. You know, I thought that they were gone. I don't have to deal with them. See? That's who we are. We're God's kids. We represent and have so much authority and power in this world. All the enemy wants to do is talk you out of it, push you down, get you depressed, get you thinking about yourself. See? To just shut you down completely. Because the devil's not stupid. He knows. But all you got to do, I'd say this so simply, all you have to do is just begin to formulate the words, right? Just put forth the willing effort to la shantala malakasito kosandalo makashandala malakasanta. This is the thing the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. It is something that we can operate in and function in since that point in time. That was the first time anybody ever spoke in a tongue. And the devil has kind of crucified tongues since then. You know, it's devilish, it died with the apostles, it's no longer, what good is it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Bob wrote a book about it. I mean, it's not a closed topic anymore. So I want us to be able to embrace this season of change, the time that we're reflecting upon Pentecost, and just realize every time that you manifest the Spirit, change is underway. There's a transformation that's occurring, a process. And you combine that Spirit with the Word, and we're talking about something pretty doggone dynamic. Okay? And everybody has to kind of personalize that in their own way of how to, you know, make sense of all that. But that's the cool thing about God is He gives us the freedom to personalize our relationship with Him. It's like, well, I don't know how, you might say, I don't know how to walk by the Spirit. You know, that's where we have to go to God and say, God, can you teach me? Teach me more about walking by the Spirit. Because by our five senses, we're not going to figure it out. But God can teach us. God can work with us. God wants us, and He wants to help us. So that would be my encouragement. You know, besides all the technical details of the particulars of Pentecost, the true reality is we've been brought into the family. And we have a connection with Almighty God. And so, you know, why not pick up the phone? Why not utilize and be a part of the process? Amen? All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And I thank you, Lord, that you will just work in our hearts somehow to teach us and help us and show us how to most beneficially be our best for you. And maybe we don't know exactly how that works, but you do. And I just pray that as we move forward from today, that we can be good representatives of your love and grace and kindness. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, guys.
We today. And man, I tell you what, God blew my mind open. I was like, whoa, okay. Won't ask that question again. Because you know what? That same spirit that sat upon those men, those 12 apostles that day, is that same spirit that lives in you right now. Think about the time, the very first time. For me, I have to go back a few years, but I can still do it. When you first spoke in tongues, the first time you heard yourself speak in tongues, were you excited? Were you thrilled? Were you like, whoa? I was in the class I was in, I missed the 11th session. And at the 11th session, they kind of prepare you that you're going to speak in tongues the next session, right? Well, I had already made up my mind. I loved the class, but that speaking in tongues things, not for me. And the guy who was under shepherding me, I told him the same thing, and he had really learned to work with my heart by then. He goes, yeah, okay, whatever. Okay. Don't worry. Nobody's going to make you do it. Everybody does it together and for the first time. So no problem. Just stand up and don't do it. I'm like, okay, great. It's awesome. I can do that. So many of you that have had the Powerful Benefit Lumi class, when doctor goes to lead you in, he asks you to stand up, close your eyes, and then he leads everybody into tongues. So I stood up and I had my hand behind my back, like, okay, well, okay, now everybody is going to do it. It's okay. You know, you don't have to do it. It's all right. And he said, speak in tongues, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God filled my heart, and I spoke in tongues like I've been speaking in tongues for 20 years. I mean, it was like unbelievable. And then he said, stop. And I stood there, and I was thinking, God, you are so kind and patient. I wasn't even going to allow you to do that in my heart. And you got me to the point where I wasn't afraid. I didn't realize I was afraid of it, you know. But, man, to me, that day, the first time I spoke in tongues was incredible. It changed my life because that Spirit of God had come upon my heart. And so when we celebrate the day of Pentecost, let's remember. Think back. You know, we forget the bad things behind, but we don't forget the great things God's done for us. And speaking in tongues, allowing us to get born again of His Spirit if we choose to, is one of the greatest gifts we'll ever receive in this body. And so we should celebrate that. It is a great time of celebration and joy. Go to Acts 2. And we'll read a little bit about it. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, and the they is the 12 apostles, were all with one accord, and the accord they were doing, what they were like-minded about, they were praying. And in the temple, which is where they really were, some people thought they were in the upper room. There's a lot of misteachings. But if you just go to Acts 2 and read what God has given us to read, you'll see it. They were sitting because they were in prayer, and they were in one place. They were in the temple. And like Barney said, Jesus had told them to go and wait, and they didn't know how long that wait would be. They didn't know it was going to happen in the temple, and they certainly didn't know how it was going to happen. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Hard, heavy breathing is what the Greek says. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. That's the phenomenon. Now, I was excited. I was blessed. I was thrilled. But I didn't get any tongues of fires when I spoke in tongues the first time. Did you? No. This is the phenomenon. This is God going beyond what Jesus had told them. And you have to realize that what Jesus told them, this is what he was talking about before he ascended. And they sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is not in the Greek text. The word the is not in the Greek text. So So they were filled with Holy Spirit and were all, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the first time in man's history, which was promised back in Genesis chapter 3, but this is the first time that any human spoke in tongues, the day of Pentecost. And they were the 12 that God chose. And they're dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes, there were many people there. There were thousands of people there because this was the time of the feast and they celebrated different feasts. I mean, there were just, it was like thousands of people. And they were, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Okay, now what I've read so far, are you confused? No. Not confused, are you, by what God just did? No. But here's the adversary. And what is he there to do? Cause confusion. Cause strife. The moment they spoke in tongues, our enemy was right there trying to confuse people and get people not to believe what they saw with their own eyes. He is still working like that today. And one of the great things for us about the day of Pentecost and how it applies to our life today, that enemy has no more power over us than he did that day. He just doesn't have it. Because that spirit that lives within us, because of the day of Pentecost, gives us the power to stamp on him, like Barney said, a bug under your foot. But there he is. And that's a detail. God's word is full of details. And that's a detail, and that's why I pointed it out, because the adversary has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? We read that in the Gospels. But God is not going to allow him to do that freely. We get to make the choice how much he steals from us, how much he deceives us, how much he is utilized in our thinking. He tried on the day of Pentecost, you guys. After the phenomenon of the tongues, he was there confusing people. I just thought that was an amazing thing to understand. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from under every nation. And when this sound occurred, the heavy breathing, the multitude came together and were confused. Satan. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. That's one of the miracles of Pentecost. You have 12 apostles up there. And each apostle was speaking in a language that the people in the multitudes understood. So, you know, in the King James it reads, but, you know, you read that statement, and they're dwelling in Jerusalem, and this is a sound that occurred, and then a Satan, you know, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. But God. The Bible says then, I put the God in parentheses in my Bible, because I saw, here's Satan, but God. But God. They were all amazed. Instead of being confused, they were what? Amazed. Who do you think worked that in their heart? God worked it. Saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Yeah, they were all Galileans, but they're speaking in another language. And the phenomenon part is these people that have gathered there that aren't Galileans understand what they're saying. And he said, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it we hear each in our own language in which they were born? Because that was the Spirit of God working in those men and the tongue that they taught, they spoke. Did they speak the words? Yes. You have to speak the word. But who gives you the word? The Spirit. God was just like, I'm taking care of this one. And as it was that they would hear their own language, which they were born, and then you can read all the, I can't even say half of these names that follow, but let's drop down to verse 11. The Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them speaking in our tongues. There's the miracle. The 12 apostles had fire. That was a phenomenon that set upon them. And they were Galileans. They did not know these other languages. And yet, the tongues that they were speaking that were heard by the multitudes that were there were the wonderful works of God. Wow. You know what? Think about it. I've been in the Word for quite a while. Since, I think, 75, yep. I've been called on to speak in tongues and interpret many times. And for a long time, I didn't realize I was speaking the wonderful works of God. I thought I was just interpreting the tongue. Well, yeah, that's what it happens. You interpret the tongue that you speak. But the interpretation, you guys, think about the privilege we have to speak the wonderful words of God to a room full of people, to each other. The day of Pentecost can hold just as much meaning today in our lives, no matter how long you've been speaking in tongues, as it did that first day there. And sometimes you know this. You guys, a lot of you have been in the Word for many years too. When you hear a manifestation and that need in your heart that you haven't been able to deal with on your own gets met, does that not just almost bring you to your knees when you think about it? Us, the family of God, we get to speak the wonderful works of God when we interpret tongues and when we prophesy. What a great privilege we have for how many thousands of years? And yet most people don't understand this. But man, we do. So we should be so thankful when we get to hear manifestations. And we should allow the Spirit of God to work within us so that we are speaking the wonderful works of God to each other first and foremost. Let's go to verse 12. So they were all amazed, the men that finally heard, you know, the people there that understood it, and perplexed. Perplexed is at a loss to understand. And I'm sure all those men and women that were there that understood the tongues that were being spoken, I'm sure they were at a loss to figure out how this is happening. Because they knew all those men were Galileans. They knew it. Saying to one another, whatever could this mean? They just could not figure it out. That's okay. Verse 13, others mocking the adversaries' people. They were full of new wine. They're just drunk, you guys. Okay, now, if you can't speak the language when you're sober, yeah, you get it. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, Peter. Okay, ever been a Peter? I've been a Peter in some situations where I was like, oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. Isn't that what he did? Days earlier, didn't he deny the Christ? In fact, at a point in time where Christ looked at him when he did it? How do you think Peter has felt all those days? And here's Peter. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Whoa. He's not just saying, hey, guys, I got to share something with you. Uh-uh. He is bold. He has stood up among thousands of people. And he is nailing the people that need to be nailed. He says that. What a great, I sit in awe when I think about what a big change happened in Peter just like that. But only because of the Spirit that lived within him. That's what gave him the courage. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maiden servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Whoa. Now Peter's talking about something that, you know, the crowd hasn't seen, but that Spirit of God is alive in him, and it is giving him the confidence, the boldness, and the truth, the information that he needs to be sharing. I thought that was just really cool. "On my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above all signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great, awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass whatsoever calls on the name of the Lord shall, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Man, he's quoting from Joel. Remember in the Old Testament, Joel prophesied about this. And Peter is just standing up there with boldness and confidence and great pride in who he is as a son of God. And probably the first time Peter has felt that way in a long time. And I don't mean pride in a bad way. Peter knew who was at work within him. He could not have stood up there and done that on his own. Have you ever been in a situation where God's put you in it and said, "Minister to this person," or "Do this," or "Go this way," and you're like, "Oh, what?" I mean, I have. You know, I've like, "Come on, God, are you sure that's what you want me to do? I've never done anything. I can't do it." You know what? Peter must have felt this high after Jesus was raised from the dead. And even when he met with them, there, that old man nature was still in Peter. But man, after the day of Pentecost, and that spirit became alive in his heart, what a change. Well, what about you and me? Do we still need to change things in our life? Well, I don't know about you guys. Me? Yeah. I've still got things I have to work on. You know why? Because I still back up a couple of times when God shows me to do something. I still like, no, I don't want to do that. But you know what? That Spirit of God works within me. God gently teaches my heart. He'll get me to a scripture or Aria say something, and I'll go, "Oh, man, did you have to tell him?" You know, but see, that's what we do. I mean, that's the body of Christ. We have to realize, look, you guys, we miss you guys tremendously. We miss this. We miss this because we don't have this. We have a small little fellowship, that 10, 12 people, the same guy who's run the fellowship for years. They've been very faithful. They are one of the greatest examples of faithfulness through everything they went through. And you know what? We attend the fellowship. It is a loving, great fellowship. Those are the people we can minister to and be with, and then those people that God brings into our path. You guys have this great group. I just want you to look at the room. Look around. Look at each other. Truly. I know sometimes you don't like each other. People have differences of opinions. Yeah. Politics, money, this, that. But you know what you all have in common? The Spirit of God within you. When you look at the person next to you, that's what you should see. This is my sister. This is my brother in Christ. The day of Pentecost, okay, many, many, many hundreds of years ago, is what allows us to do that today. You know, Pentecost is a big deal to us. If we remember, if we get our heads into the Word and become thankful. I mean, that day at Pentecost had to have been one of the most tremendous days in those people's lives. The believers and unbelievers alike. I mean, you see cloven tongues of fire, and then you hear people speaking in your language, and you know they don't know your language, but they're speaking the wonderful works of God. You know, when a brother or sister comes to you or to me with a problem, I need that spirit to well up inside me. I need to be able sometimes to just speak the truth in love. Sometimes I got to fight for somebody's life. I got to help them because they're weak at that point and they've come for help. So sometimes you have to take the same kind of stand Peter took. You guys got to get it together. That's not what he said, but you know what I mean. So let's go to, you can read the rest of that down to, I want to close. It says in verse 40, that section where Peter stands up and starts talking, I really encourage you guys to read that today when you get home sometime, because he hits every nail God needs him to hit to confront the evilness that was done to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the very people who did it. He looked the Jews in the eye that were there and he said, you did this. You had our Lord crucified. Because they did. It wasn't the Romans that wanted to crucify him. It was the Jewish leaders. It was the synagogues, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. And he was behind closed doors a few days earlier in this. He wouldn't have looked them in the eye. So read that section. Read chapter 2. And look at the change in Peter and think about yourself. Because God will show you. You know what? You can draw from that. It's amazing how much Pentecost still affects our lives today, even though it was many, many years ago. In verse 40, I'm going to close here. It says, and with many other words he testified Peter and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, I read those words and I'm thinking, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued. There's another word that applies to us. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon, or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done with the apostles. How many of you in this room have performed a miracle in your life? I think most hands should be going up. You may not realize this, but when you minister to someone and they get healed, what is that? It's a miracle. When you minister to someone and their heart is softened and that hardness is dropped away, what is that? That's the Spirit of God working within them. That's a miracle. We perform miracles, you guys, when we walk with God. Then fear or reverence came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Many signs and wonders are done when believers love unconditionally with the love of God. And sometimes it's not holding somebody's hand and saying, oh, sometimes it's like, get off your behind and start walking like a man or a woman of God. Sometimes confrontation is right. It's done with love and because of love. But man, the change that can happen, I just see how great that spirit within us really works when we allow ourselves to remember to work it. He's not going to force us. Now, all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. When we first came to San Diego with Ron and Jan Booz, Barney and I did, we just got married, graduated from the Way Corps. The Boozes were on their, were going to go wow, so we got permission to bring them with us to San Diego, but we couldn't tell them. So the four of us came here, met with Bob, and when we set up our house, we actually did this. We all put our check, the checks we made, no matter who made how much, in one account, and we ran our lives. If I had a need for shoes, I got shoes. If somebody needed a coat, we bought all the, we lived that. And it was some of the greatest times in our lives, right, Barney? And at the end, we had this lump of sum money left in our account. So we gave that to Ron and Jan because they were going into the Way Corps. And we saw the abundance that God gave us. And I tell you, Jan probably made three times as much money as Barney and Ron and I did because she was this computer whiz. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. We had all things in common. And we saw a lot of great things happen here, huh, Bob, that year, with the outreach of God's word. So they continually, verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So they were still in the temple from day to day. They were still praying and ministering. And then they went from house to house breaking bread. Now, Jeannie Linfeld, every Wednesday night, I think if you go to her fellowship, you're going to find bread of some kind there. And it may be bread, and it may be enchiladas, and it may be spaghetti. But you know what? It's there. Because she has believers, you guys, coming into her home to bless you, to minister to you, to get ministered to by you. All of this that gets set up and done, who do you think does that? There's a few people in this room that are here every Sunday to help. That's how you get to come in and do, because we have all things in common. Now, if you want to come and help and you haven't been, you can. Yeah, you can, sure, of course. But just think about who is sitting in this room with you. And how much they've done for you. And how much you can do for them. That's the way we should live. And they did it with gladness and simplicity of heart. Man, read that a few times. It took me, okay. They didn't do it, oh my, I go down, nobody else will go. No. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Is that not the kind of lifestyle we really want to have in our hearts? Sure. Well, it's there. It's right inside here. And as we allow God to work within our heart and change our minds about some things we may not be right about, then you know what? He'll show you. And he can continue to work within us. You guys have a great group of believers here. You guys are awesome and wonderful. But you have so much here, so much variety, so much abilities. Don't forget about that. Because on the day of Pentecost, thousands of years ago, God made that available for the time you were born and you decided to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. And that spirit came upon you. It is that same spirit, that same boldness, that same love, that same ability as those apostles had. So God bless you. Thank you.
Pentecost is. Phenomenal. Unbelievable what happened on the day of Pentecost. And really, they did not know the fullness of what they had until it was revealed a little bit later on. We're going to take a look at that. But it's interesting. You talk to other people about Pentecost, other Christian folks, people that go to different churches and things like that. And you talk to them about, hey, did you have a nice big Pentecost celebration? A Pentecost, what's that? You know, a lot of churches don't know about Pentecost. Or if they do, yeah, it's no big deal. It's just one of those other things they do, have in church, and we move on. But I think we're seeing there's some depth here. There's some life here. There's some things that are so awesome, so spectacular. When you talk about speaking in tongues and all that we can do and what that means, we do get excited. We do get really blessed, really blessed. So I think we get it. No matter if somebody else doesn't, we get it. And what is so remarkable about Pentecost is that finally God could give man that perfect salvation that would bring man eternally into his family forever. Isn't that fantastic? Unbelievable, but God did it. Well, there's a verse here, Colossians 2:2. And take a look at this verse. This thing is unbelievable. This is fantastic what it says in this verse here. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now, you're getting excited already about this. Comforted, what? Yeah, comforted. And knit together in love, okay, and unto all riches of the full assurance. Not partial assurance, but full assurance of understanding. To the acknowledgement of what? The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. A mystery? Hey, is there a secret? Is there something that God had planned that he didn't tell anybody? And yet, his desire is for everybody to know what it is, to have the full assurance of understanding, acknowledging what the mystery is. What is the mystery? Well, we're going to take a look at that a little bit, okay? The 12 apostles tasted a little bit of the greatness of what they received on Pentecost prior to that time. If you remember, Jesus Christ sent the apostles out, the disciples, and the Spirit was what? Upon them. And they were able to do great works, healing, deliverance, as Jesus Christ did. But later on, they saw it much bigger. So let's go to John 14:17, and we'll have most of these verses on here as we go through them. But John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and what? Shall be in you. In you is much deeper than on you, right? If you're on the water, you're on the water. But if you're in the water, you're immersed, right? Right. Okay. So what is the reality of this we're talking about? And they just didn't get it right away on the day of Pentecost. But they sure manifested the power of God, didn't they? They got excited. They spoke in tongues. They went out. They ministered healing. They delivered people right and left because of this great Spirit they had within. Now, the magnitude of how big it was wrapped up into a little secret, a little mystery that God had in his heart, did not tell anybody, not even Jesus Christ,
what he had in mind. The fullness, the greatness of what would happen on the day of Pentecost. But it was revealed later on. And this thing was so big, so magnanimous, that he kept it a secret. And how big it is, and how vital it is, I think is reflected in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's take a look at that. But we speak the mystery of God, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world, unto whose glory? Our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. Princes of the world, who are those guys? Devil spirits, Satan and his gang. Had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? If Jesus Christ was not crucified, he could not have paid for the salvation that we have today. Wow. The devil spirits would rather have Jesus Christ alive on earth than to have what God had kept secret before the foundation of the world. That's pretty big, isn't it? Blows my mind to see that. Unbelievable. But it happened. So let's unfold this mystery, because it says we are to know this mystery, right? Have the full assurance of understanding. Let's go to Romans. Romans 16. Okay? Verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since before the world began. Doesn't that tickle your heart a little bit? Have you interested on, oh my golly, God kept something secret since the world began and he didn't tell anybody. This must be really fantastic. But, next verse, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. For what purpose? Obedience of faith. We would obey, that we could believe. And how big this is, we could believe it in our life. We could live it in our life. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because we want to see what this secret is. What is it that God held secret since the world began that would be unto our glory? Ephesians chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Where did he write afore in a few words? We just read it in Romans, right? Probably other places as well. Whereby, when you read it, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Wow. Let's go to verse 5. Ephesians 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, in those days, what would you do if you were a Jew, a believing Jew, and somebody who is a Gentile walked by? What would you do? You would snub your nose to them, because they're Gentiles. They're not part of what God called his people, the Jewish people. So Gentiles were looked down upon. They were the dogs. You know, talk about prejudice. Woo! Yet this mystery took in everybody. Every single individual breathing person could have the greatness of this mystery. And it was in part that they could be of the one body. They could partake of the promises of God. everybody in the one body of Christ. Fantastic, huh? Verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11. Next slide. There we go. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we all have, I hope we all have a purpose or goals in life. What makes us get up in the morning and move through the day, the next day, the next day? Well, we have goals. We have purpose for doing what we do, living life. Here was an eternal purpose. I cannot think what we're looking at here. The information I'm sharing with you out of the scripture to me is bigger than anything that man's ever come up with. That knowledge, the greatness of what God has kept secret before the foundation of the world, nothing compares to that. Nothing. In whom we now have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Man, we've got boldness. What we have as a result of this secret, we can really act out. We can have boldness. We can do the things that Christ did. He also said, greater works that I do, ye shall do. Well, let's go to Colossians. So we know part of the mystery that everybody gets to be in the one body. Everybody has the promises of God for themselves. So now in Colossians 1:26, we see even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Big deal, huh? Big deal. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got Christ in you. Any and everybody can have Christ in them. All that Christ is in you to be there for eternity. I can't think of anything better, could you? I'm thankful God kept it a secret, that he didn't reveal it to anybody. But now it's been revealed, so that we can have full assurance of the understanding of what God has done with this great secret, this mystery. Wow. Well, let's go back to Colossians 2, all right? Colossians 2. We got 128. Oh, I forgot verse 128, didn't I? In whom we what? Preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. We're talking about perfection. Unbelievable. See, when we reach out to people, we've got a product that nobody else can compare to, right? We can bring perfection in the heart and life of any and everybody when we share Christ. Is there any other product better than Christ in you? Better than Head and Shoulders. Or anything else out there. Christ in you, the hope of glory, my goodness. Now, Colossians 2. That their hearts might be comforted. Now, I hope your heart now is receiving this, is experiencing this comfort, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of the acknowledgement of what? The mystery of God. Man, that we can get to the point in our hearts that we are fully comforted, that the love of God is knit together, that we have the full assurance of the mystery, the reality that it is Christ in me. It's one body. We're all in one body. Everybody that's born again of God's Spirit, one body. Fantastic. Fantastic. Let's go to Colossians 2:10. We got a slide on that. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, this is what we've got to be careful with. Knowing this mystery, having the greatness of this mystery in us, Christ in us, We got to beware, right? That any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Christ. After Christ. So, you know, somebody can come up and say, hey, I got this new philosophy. This is it, man. This will take care of your heart. You'll be comforted. You'll be fine for eternity. Well, what's it all about? Well, it's about the stars that revolve in the universe, and they mix together, and as you look to that, you have no worries at all. What? What are we going to believe in? What about that Christ in you? Is that more fantastic than anything else? You can speak in tongues. You know you've got Christ in you. Boy, when we're out ministering, we're doing Agape Now and praying for people, I speak in tongues quietly, and as we talk with folks and minister and pray to them, I just look forward to God working in me. Yeah, yeah. We had a man yesterday. I don't know if he just came in or not, but he wanted me to pray for him, and I prayed for him. And God put it on my heart, say, minister to his feet for healing in his feet. And then after I finished, he looked at me, had a big smile on his face. Did God tell you about my problem with the feet? Well, I guess he did. I guess he did. That's the Spirit of God working. It's the great Spirit of God. This Spirit of God with all nine, we're just talking about speaking in tongues mostly today, right? There's eight other manifestations. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Oh my gosh. Faith, healing, miracles. Look out, here comes a Christ in me believer. And it all was a mystery at one time. But now we know it, don't we? Now we know it. Now we can live it. Wow. Not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This last verse 10. And you are semi-complete in him. No, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, somebody could say, well, you're complete in the sergeant or the first lieutenant. That's not so big. Are you you're complete in the colonel or the Navy captain or admiral? Hey, what are we complete in? The Godhead bodily. That's bigger than anything else, any other power that can be. We are complete, which is the head of all principality and power. This word complete in the Aramaic has an emphasis where you're completely complete, absolutely complete. And Jan Majera's translation of this section, she has absolutely complete. You are absolutely complete in him. So when you leave here, you're not going to leave here empty, I hope. Because you are complete in him. This is the culmination. What God dreamed about since the fall of man was to get man back into his family so that he can have eternal life, that he could fellowship with him so beautifully, have that spirit within him. This is the culmination of all that God the Father so much desired through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have that salvation. We are complete in him. A wonderful man of God, Dr. Victor Paul Weirwill, said this. Jesus Christ's life had been leading up to this great pinnacle in human history. And with this outpouring came the culmination of what he had come to make available. Pentecost consummated the purpose of Jesus Christ's entire life, including his sacrifice as our Passover lamb. This began the age of grace, the greatest period in human history, before Christ returns. Wow. Amen. Isn't that something? I'm going to close with this translation. This is the Passion Translation. Normally, I think it's a little too much, but I like this here, and this is Colossians 1:26 and 1:27, and this is the Passion Translation. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world from generations, but now is being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every Holy Spirit, every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ, who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for His people, and God wants everyone to know it. Isn't that quite a translation? Woo! Well, Heavenly Father, we are so, so blessed, so thankful that we can know this mystery, that the fullness of Pentecost has been revealed later on as the Apostle Paul, through your guidance, your direction, wrote in the Scriptures, that we can be of one body, that we can have the fullness of Christ within, that we can have the full assurance of understanding this, that we can walk with great power to a needy world and hold forth these wonderful words of life. Thank you for making us so, so complete. We love you, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right.